All right. Check this out, brother. I got a game if you'll play with me.
Okay.
All right. In light of the theme of our episode, if you had, and it's got to be fun. This can't be like free child slaves. We need those.
Right.
There's 5% of our gross national product included in slavery. Anyways, lighthearted and fun only, not a serious answer.
Yeah.
If you could come up with a prop, what would the prop number be? What would the prop be? And what would the pro and con of the prop be?
Oh, man.
See?
I would need time to like really.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be lighthearted and fun. Let me give you an idea. Real okay. quick. Mine would be prop 69. Okay.
Oh, that's the number I was going to go with because that's just the go-to.
That's fine because mine has nothing to do with 69.
Okay.
So it would be that all California residents would have to refer to yours truly as Master Universe Ninja Warrior. Pro.
That's a good one.
Everyone calls me Master Universe Ninja Warrior. Con, everybody now found out who the Master Universe Ninja Warrior is.
Yeah, secrets out of the bag.
Your turn. Fun, lighthearted, nothing serious.
Okay, prop. I'd say prop number one, because okay. it's the most important thing to me at this point in time. Prop number one is do not slow down traffic to rubberneck at something that has nothing to do with you
on the
freeway. The pro is that you stop pissing me off.
And the con?
The con is that people now have nothing else to talk about when they get home. Hey, guess what I saw off the freeway? I guess.
I heard a comedian talk about they should make a high lane and a drunk lane in the freeway. And like the high lane should kind of have bumper, or the drunk lane should have bumpers, but the high lane should have like drive-through windows every couple miles.
Just so you can pull over and just...
And refill. Two exits on the high lane, because you always miss your exit when you're high. You're like, was that? Oh, fuck.
The other one's like, oh, don't worry, we got you.
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mine.
Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Podcast, your weekly stop for all things that are needed for perspectives, opinions, and kicking your face stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just get it. I don't have my notes in front of me. So those who listen to the episode know, like, oh shit, Imagine doesn't have his fucking notes in front of him.
If you really need the monologue, go back to last episode, listen to the monologue, press pause once the monologue's done, come back over here and join back in.
Yeah. Essentially, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and donate to the Venmo at Social Nuisance and become a short sponsor where we'll advertise whatever the fuck you want.
Yep.
This message is endorsed by Imagine and Motion.
Sure is.
We approve this message.
We approve. My name is Motion, and I approve.
Yep, and that's the main man, Motion, and we're going to get into the politics. So normally we kind of sprinkle it in and kind of, you know, bring in some lighthearted stuff. But given that it's election year and this only happens every 2 years, unless there's a special election. But in any case, this is a presidential election cycle and there's a lot of stuff going on. And we wanted to dedicate a whole episode because we always go off on tangents and we go off the rails more quickly than we normally do when the topic of politics come up. And people are always looking up to us for whatever, God knows why, as far as why we have an opinion about things. And apparently our opinions carry some weight.
They do.
Yeah. So we went through specifically all the props that are affecting us in California that we can vote on, props 14 through 25. We're going to talk about the props, mostly about what we agree on, what we disagree on, and why. And then we'll talk about, of course, the presidential election cycle, and then a couple of news stories that are floating around as well that pertain to the election cycle. But let's get right into it.
And full disclaimer.
Yeah.
I only got my information from the voters packet.
Oh, the official voter guide.
Yeah, I didn't dial in or click on the links or go further. I just wanted to be like, if I was a fellow Californian in the booth who, you know, works 50, 60 hours a week trying to stay afloat, social distance, and didn't get into the swaying of the voting. I just wanted the facts, the information provided, and that's what I based my decision on. And if you don't agree, listen to the other shit I say.
As he said previously, just check into the other episodes, and you'll be bounced right back in. So let's start with the props. So
all right.
The props in California, we have 14 through 25, and they range in number of topics. But I want to go real quickly through the topics, or the props rather, that we agree upon. Starting with 14, which is the funding of stem cell research.
Yes.
I'm in favor of that. I'm going to vote yes.
Yeah, absolutely, man. As someone who's staring down the barrel of cancer, I think it's important that we have that, you know, that research, that initiative. And also the things that have held us back from stem cell research in the back are at best theory, right? Faith.
Right.
No scientific holding as to why we shouldn't be doing this.
Not particularly that I can think of. It kind of just goes back to, for me, science and technology. If it's something that's propelled humankind and humanity to help us out, let's keep doing that.
So, yeah, and I like the way the verbiage is, like, it authorizes California to spend $5.5 billion more. And it's just like, haven't we all found out this year that money's pretend? Right? Like,
yeah, I got some cooking in the back, and I was telling my wife, Daisy, you know, when we're able to, I want to go back to the strip club and just do those little money guns, but full of Monopoly money.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, those bitches are so stupid, they'll die for it. What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Nothing at all. But, you know, I think it's relevant.
The other thing, though, is with this research and these types of initiatives, it will make universal healthcare that much closer, because the cost of universal healthcare will go down with these types of treatments over time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the more we do it, the further it comes down. So it makes
sense. Think this is a step in the right direction.
I agree.
Next!
Next prop is prop number 15. And this one, I think you've seen a lot, getting a lot of press. Prop 15 increases funding sources for public schools, community colleges, and local government services by changing tax assessment of commercial and industrial property. So a lot of the TV commercials are no on 15. However, I'm going to be voting yes, and you're going to be voting yes.
Yes. And a couple things. One, property taxes go directly to schools in the neighborhood. If you own a business that the property alone is worth $3 million or more, it is in your best interest to have highly educated people in that community. Because highly educated people are not only beneficial to the community that can go in and work for you for later, but it is also people who aren't desperate and hurting for funds later on in life that will be directly affecting your business and property value, dipshit.
Yeah. The one thing that really got me for this one was the portion that says it's exempts from taxation changes for residential properties, agricultural land, and owners of commercial and industrial properties with combined value of $3 million or less. And I'm not one who owns a small business, clearly, but I'm pretty sure $3 million of property value, commercial property value, is pretty expensive, right?
It's expensive. You'd be surprised how little you get in some areas, especially out where we are. But you probably, if you got $3 million and you didn't inherit it, you're probably on an uptick. Hopefully, I mean, COVID changed everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you should be doing pretty well. And like I said, it is definitely in your best interest to take care of the community around you.
Yeah, I think this one should be passing. I understand why a lot of corporations don't want to see it pass. Essentially, if you purchased property for commercial reasons and you're being taxed property value in that tax year that which you bought it, and that is continued on. However, this prop will then reflect the property value currently and tax you in accordance to the value of the property now in comparison to when you first bought it. So that's the loophole that they're trying to close. And of course, a lot of larger organizations don't want to see that happen, which is why they're advertising for a no, and which is why I'm advertising for a yes.
And truth be told, you really only get reassessed when you do huge financial transactions based on the property, such as refinances or sales. That's really the only time the reassessor even considers the county assessor even considers going out to the property. So it's not like it's going to be updated yearly and you're going to be fucked with. It's only going to be when you make big decisions.
Right.
You got to go out and see what it's worth. And you know what? Guess what? It might be worth less after the next year or two.
That's definitely a possibility.
Oh, and I forgot. I wanted to start the show with, if you agree with us, right on, dude. Cool, rad. And if you don't, I don't give a fuck. Text, email, send messages about how wrong we are. Because we're not. How about that? Eat shit.
We're just providing our perspectives. And you do what you do. I mean, that's the whole point of voting is your voice and what you want to do with it. So by all means, please vote.
16.
Number 16 allows diversity as a factor in public employment, education, and contracting decisions. Key factor in that sentence is public. So this one is kind of bringing back affirmative action. So in 1996, Proposition 209 was passed, which prohibited from government decision-making to consider race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin. This prop would then repeal Prop 209, allowing organizations within the public sector to consider race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin. So in essence, it could be beneficial where organizations do want to propel the inclusion of people of color and minorities and such and so forth. However, I personally am voting no on this because I feel 209 leveled the playing field in the sense that we shouldn't be acknowledging race, sex, color, ethnicity. Everyone should get a fair shot at the job. If you're the best for the job, then you should get the job. And that's kind of where I was coming from with it. And if I'm not mistaken, you're voting no as well.
Yes, and I just want to make sure that I read that right. No on the vote means that the current ban on the consideration, so you would not be able to consider, I think we might have read this differently, any of those protected demographics, right?
That yes, the proposal eliminates the ban on the consideration of certain characteristics in public education, public employment, and public contracting. If approved, this would eliminate the ban on the consideration of race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin. So right now, Prop 209 banned the ability.
So this protects the best person for the job.
This protects best person for the job, correct.
All right. Yeah.
And I feel that we've made significant progress in diversity and inclusion with Prop 209 activated. So I don't think we don't necessarily need to, you know, wiggle the boat here of potentially it backfiring and we see discriminatory practices.
Yeah. And also, you know, we're such a pendulum nation, dude.
That's true.
You know,
which is why they voted on it in 1996. Now we're back voting on it in 2020.
There we go, dude. History repeats itself. Indeed. How about this? We're three props in. I'm already kind of confused.
It's all right. We can play it back later.
17.
Proposition 17 restores the right to vote after completion of prison term. So I'm voting a yes on this, and the jury is still out in the mind of motion.
Yes. So here's the thing. I want to believe that when you served your sentence, you've served your sentence.
Right.
Okay. And you should be rehabilitated and allowed to be back into society. Here's my catch. If you are on parole, your sentence isn't yet to be served. So I don't know how I feel about this reinstituting the right to vote as soon as you're removed from prison. I think you need to finish the punishment and then be reinstated the right, because you have not served your entire sentence. Because a lot of times your sentence might be, you know, 6 years in jail plus 2 years supervised release plus, you know, work release program plus victim restitution. And I think that you need to fulfill all those obligations before you're truly reinstated your rights. And this directly limits it to the release of prisoners, inmates now, felons of any type, you know, and I believe felon of any type, even, you know, sex crimes or whatever, if you serve your sentence and you qualify, then you should be able to be, you know, you did. That's what we believe, right? Rehabilitationists.
I do. I agree to that. I understand your perspective on that. I think where I'm coming from is one of those, I want to say uninalienable rights as an American is your right to vote. I could totally understand and sympathize why someone in jail, they have violated the social contract.
Correct.
What it is to live in this country, live in the community, and you're going to be punished for it. I feel that if you have served your prison term, and you've done what I feel, coming from an ignorant space, is that the hardest part of your sentence is being in prison. And once you're out of prison and on the road to rehabilitation, is being able to write the right to vote.
It depends on your sentence, whether or not prison is the hardest part of your sentence. And what would be proof positive of that argument is the rate of recidivism?
The rate of going back in.
Because kind of once the system owns you, it does. And then I didn't even think about that till we were talking right now, is the fact that so many people do go back in. What's especially on parolees. And it's not, I guess it's their fault, right? They fucked up somehow.
Sure.
But that system is built that once it fucking has a grip on you, dude, it never loosens that grip. But here's the thing. If you get out, you get to affect a presidential election, and 6 months later, you violate your parole in some stupid way. Now you're back doing another 18 months. Did you really get to participate? You know, are you really being affected by... Obviously, you're being affected. You're an inmate. More fucking props go on about inmates, as we'll see later on through this conversation,
right,
than you would, you know, expect. But again, I'm not for or against it right now. And when I said that I would make that decision in the booth, it's because I would feel the pressure of voting, and then I would make that emotional gut reaction, which I would trust. Feel like you need to fulfill your obligation, not just your prison sentence, but also, you know, you are a member of society again, and you should have a voice as to how that goes. So I was torn a little bit. I'll do it and let you guys know. I'll get back to you. I have no secrets. I'll let you know how I decide.
Yeah, that's totally fair. That's how we feel about that. Proposition 18.
18
amends. You know, it kind of reminds me of watching Sesame Street. You're like, okay, number 10.
18 virgins when you die.
Proposition 18 amends California Constitution to permit 17-year-olds to vote in primary and special elections if they will turn 18 by the next general election and be otherwise eligible to vote. I'm voting yes on this, and to my understanding, your jury came back with no.
No, yeah. I get it. It's fair. But I'm not for lowering the voting age, and I kind of feel like this is one of those slippery slopes, you know, where it starts with this, and then it's like, well, you know, maybe they should just vote at 17 in the general election. Kids are idiots, dude. That's very little life experience to thanks, bro. That's you know, I left the last shop that I was at, and I realized that towards the end of that experience with those people, I just kept hearing you're not wrong a lot.
Oh.
So, but I'm not for lowering the voting age at all. You know, you miss this one, you miss this one. You'll come around again.
That's true. However, my perspective is that you got to hook them young. And I think if you're talking about civics and government, you're doing a government assignment and talking about voting in high school, and you can actually then talk about, like, okay, well, which of you are 17 right now and will be 18 in the general election? And you have a show of hands, like, okay, cool. Those people in your classroom can go vote. You get to exercise what we've been talking about, and you get to participate. And I think that level of investment from such a young age will see higher voter turnout as they go into adulthood, because they had the ability to go vote. And
I see that. That makes sense.
Those who are not going to vote when they're 17, 18, if they're not going to vote, they're not going to fucking vote. You can't change it. But
I apologize.
Yeah, those who do then have the opportunity, like myself. I wanted to fucking vote. I think Daisy told me a story not so long ago where she wanted to vote. And if we had the opportunity, we would have been hooked younger. And fuck it. You know what more? I'm always pro-voting. I don't see a problem with having more Americans vote. Although I firmly believe, you know, there's some Americans like, really? You're a registered voter?
Yeah.
I guess.
Born on the right side of the line, bro. Yeah. Here's the other thing, though. It wouldn't be every class of 17-year-olds that gets to vote, right? It'd just be the ones that meet that border when the next election, correct? You know what fucking Microsoft needs to work on instead of a fake vaccine? He needs to develop a program that, okay, allows some sort of general election every year for seniors in high school, okay? And that it plays out digitally by odds. Like, so say we do for the next 3 years a Biden-Trump election digitally for right. every high school senior. And then every year it updates with information of what, say, the winner does or what the loser would have probably done.
Sure.
And kind of just through algorithm gives us a stack of results. And if you voted Donnie T, you would get those results every year. You could go in and check in 6 months. Oh, how did my vote do? How did my vote do? And it would kind of play out. And then it would say, you know, if Biden was president, this is what would have happened. And it could teach them kind of, you know, direct consequence results of their vote. And it would keep them intertuned, not only to like what's happening socially, because you would want to know how your vote affected, but just kind of draw them. You know what I mean? I think that'd be pretty rad if someone could develop a program like that. Patent pending.
But, I think a level of investment for voting is always good. If you can provide a pathway to make that happen, absolutely. I'm all for that. Prop 19
okay.
is the changes in certain property tax rules. So we've seen a lot of this for homeowners who are over 55, severely disabled, or whose homes were destroyed by wildfire or disaster, which we've been seeing a lot recently with the raging wildfires. So, to my understanding, this tax would allow expanded special rules for eligible homeowners. So normally, if you were able to change property taxes from one property to the next, your property taxes would change because you moved.
Yeah.
There are certain exemptions for, again, those who are over 55, disabled, and who've been affected by disaster. Those exemptions are going to expand, further allowing those over 55, severely disabled and affected by disasters to transfer their primary residence's property tax base value to a different property value, X amount of time or having less hurdles to overcome. It makes it easier for that particular group to manage their property. And I'm in favor.
I'm in favor because we have so many issues with people buying, not just out of state, but out of the country now. There's a lot of people from outside the country picking up properties, running up property tax, and causing people who live in these areas that have owned them forever, basically pricing them out of their homes, not just on a like purchase sale level. Right. But when you run up the value of the community, the property assessor comes out, or the county assessor comes out, runs up the property tax. And sometimes there's a lot of these people who have had homes like in East LA for 30, 40 years, and they're living off Social Security or something like that. And then all of a sudden, now their house that they've had is worth $900,000, and they can't afford just the property tax alone on that.
Right.
I believe yes protects them better, and that's why I was for it.
Yeah, agreed. I'm also voting yes. Prop 20. Prop 20 restricts parole for certain offenses currently considered to be nonviolent, authorizes felony sentences for certain offenses currently treated only as misdemeanors, and increases the DNA sample collection rate from previously only felony offenses to some repeated misdemeanor offenses. I am voting no, and I think you are as well.
I am voting no also. I don't know the like DNA database for people who aren't for people we don't need to like continually track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's dangerous. We should all have a healthy distrust of our government.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I don't understand why we all gotta be in the database, especially a fucking low level thief. Like, you know how to track a thief? Like, fucking be a cop, do police work.
Yeah, I can totally understand how having a DNA collection will definitely help police. That's unquestionable. But it becomes that conversation of security versus freedom. How much of your freedom are you willing to sacrifice for your security? And in this case, I'm not sacrificing that freedom. I, like you said, a healthy distrust of government. I think expanding the DNA collection for adults convicted of certain misdemeanors, which would include shoplifting, forging checks, and certain domestic violence crimes. Yes, all horrendous crimes, but maybe not horrendous, but domestic violence is horrendous. Shoplifting.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how is that even? Why do they bundle that shit together? You know what I mean? Like, there's something here. They're trying to get over on someone. You know, when you bundle something like you just said, bad checks and domestic violence, that's not the same person, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, but that's not the same style.
Yeah, the DNA collection thing is what put me off. And then just the increased penalties for misdemeanors as if they were felonies. I just don't think increased punishment is what our community needs.
Well, and how about this?
For growth.
They're not even prepared for it. Our prison system is an absolute clusterfuck in California. They're constantly letting people out, constantly trying to shuffle shit around. It's like you're not even ready for an increased prison presence. So why are we having this conversation?
Yeah, this thing sounds super sus, and I just don't like the smell of it at all. So I'm without hesitation, I'm voting no.
Quick question before we hop on to the next one.
Yes, sir.
While we're kind of on the topic of DNA, do you trust DNA science as it pertains to court systems? I feel like the more and more I learn about it and how it's based on like alleles and not actual connections, it's like, oh, this person had 16 out of 19 alleles. Just, and then they give some number, like it would be a 1 in 1 million chance that some, it's not actually like, it's not like blood, like his blood was there.
Yeah, it's not foolproof. You know what
I mean? I feel like the more we go on with it, it's going to become like at some point the lie detector test. Remember when everybody went,
oh, yeah,
got convicted by lie detector, and then we're like, hey, turns out that's erroneous. Yeah. I don't fully trust the DNA technology in the court system as it is right now.
Yeah, if we're trusting the polygraph the same way Mari is trusting the polygraph, I think we're on two different understandings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think once, with DNA technology, as we increase our understanding, we increase our ability to not necessarily manipulate the truth, but we increase our ability to split hairs.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening. I think with DNA, it was like, oh, it was a fascinating connection. It's a fascinating match. It's as easy as yes or no, it matches. But as the science became more and more understood, you're like, it was not a 100% match, but it's exactly a pretty close match.
Yeah, it's never that person's DNA. It's that person was the closest amount of connections to the DNA found at the site. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a different fucking statement than what you're teaching people.
Exactly. It's something to be cautious about.
All right, rolling on.
Prop 21, yes. Prop 21 expands local government's authority to enact rent control on residential property. This one is probably one of the hottest ones. Just beneath Prop 22, as far as getting a lot of commercial airplay and a lot of money involved. It all has to do with rent control. So please jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I tried to understand this as much as possible because there's so much spotlight on it. This essentially takes the ability for local communities to determine their rent control based upon the foundation provided by the Newsom administration and the law that he signed in, I believe it was a couple of years ago. So you use the base of rent control as provided by the state. But if local communities want to go beyond that and have a bit more strict rent control, this would allow local communities to do so, but they couldn't undermine the state law, but they could build upon it.
Okay. Here's one of my problems with it. It pertains only to residential properties that are 15 years or older.
Wait, I'm voting yes, and you're voting.
Wait, let me double check.
Number 21.
I'm 21. No, I'm a no.
You're a no. I'm a yes. Continue.
Yeah. So here's the thing: is people who own properties that are 15 years or older, they're not the wealthy. Right. They're usually someone who moved on to a newer home and are renting out the older home. Wealthy people who buy multiple rentals, they're not usually buying old properties because they have maintenance that they need to take care of. They don't have warranties. They have all kinds of issues. Nobody wants to rent a 20-year-old house. What it is, it's people trying to create generational wealth and get out of that. Okay?
Sure.
Those are not people that need to be regulated. You know, those are not the ones that we need to worry about. I think that the government getting involved with them and telling them what they may or may not be allowed to charge for rent is actually holding down people from getting out of the lower middle class.
Sure.
Okay. They'll learn the economy. One of the things with rent, dude, is, and here's one of the problems that they're trying to stop. It's a pretty legit, what is it called? A meritocracy, where it's like, it defies itself. It's capitalism at its purest. If you out rent yourself, if you put your rent too high, ain't no one gonna fucking rent it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I think that that's a market that can kind of maintain itself and run itself. And I think that if you want to talk about rent control, you should talk about properties 10 years or newer.
Yeah, that's true.
Because those are the wealthy. Those are the people who own 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 properties. and running it up. If I check this out, if there's 500 houses in a community, say I own 12 of them. That's mm-hmm. possible, right? The guy I rented from before now, or actually the guy I rent from now probably owns 15 properties in this community.
Sure.
If they were all brand new, he could run up rent single-handedly.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He has a way to manage that. He can fuck with the system by raising all his properties. If they're older properties, man, I don't know. I feel like that's someone that's trying to really get out, and we should inhibit them as little as possible.
I can understand that. I think that's the capitalist perspective.
Yeah, in me.
The fact that someone has 15 properties bugs me.
Yeah.
You don't need 15 properties.
That's what I'm saying. The guy that has 15 properties, they're not all 15 years old.
Right. So referring back to in the book, the official voter guide, specifically cities and counties can apply rent control to most housing that is more than 15 years old. Here's what got me. This does not include single family homes owned by people with two or fewer properties. Now, when talking about generational wealth, I would only need two properties, right? I mean, myself and the one that I rented out beforehand. I think for me, that is enough property for myself and my kids, and they too can then expand upon that. I want to see a system where we are encouraging home ownership for multiple people and not multiple landlords using home property as a business.
Yeah.
That bugs me.
My knee-jerk reaction was to stop you at home ownership. And I'm like, well, someone's trying to own homes. And then your next sentence was for multiple owners, not multiple properties per owner.
Right, right.
That's a great clarification.
The other piece, too, is that the law requires a fair rate of return. So the measure requires that rent control laws allow landlords a fair rate of return. So, yes, some people are using properties as a way of income, and they should have a fair rate of return. This allows
who determines that rate? What's a fair rate of return, and who picks that?
I think that's what you're talking about, like the county assessors and so on.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't know. I wouldn't leave it up to them, because that could go fair either way in their perspective. To me, the market's going to be pretty fucking fair. It's going to get rented or it's not.
That's true. That's true. I think, again, what ultimately leaned it for me was increased rent control allows renters to have more say in the position that they're in, and then makes it difficult for landlords to, you know, be a landlord. And the term landlord slum, just a lord in general.
Yeah, right. I know. It's like so ancient, dude.
You know, a property owner sounds a little bit nicer, but if you're a lord of something because you own multiple properties and charging, it just bugs me. So I'm going yes.
I had an idea for a fun game that will take place at the end of this.
Right.
But you're keeping track of our differences, correct?
Yes. I have it notated down on my beautiful board.
I'm going to revisit that at the end. I had an idea, dude. Yeah. I just had an idea, bro. All right. So we'll go back to the end. As long as you got notation of our differences, because I don't.
Okay, I do.
Next one, brother. Next one.
Prop 20.
This is better than I thought it was going
to
be, dude.
Prop 20. Well, because we're not trying to sway anybody. We're just talking about our perspectives and leaving it at that. And as a good voting community should, you know, hear the facts, make your educated decision.
I think it just turns me on when you talk smart, dude. It really,
it's not me. I'm just reading the official voter guide. I take no responsibility of the smart words coming out of my mouth.
Dude, you're definitely the one making my dick hard right now.
Awesome.
As soon as this show's over, dude, I'm going to go so hard on that. I'll tell you about it later. All right, next one.
Prop 22. This one's getting the most press. This has all to do with Lyft, Uber, and such. Prop 22 exempts app-based transportation and delivery companies from providing employee benefits to certain drivers. In essence, they were all independent contractors specifically to driver delivery-based programs. It's nothing to do with like odd jobs or shit like that. This is specifically for driving.
Correct.
So previously they were all independent contractors. Then AB5 came out and they were all forced to be listed as employees. So the large companies were like, fuck that. We're going to take it to the polls. They backed this prop and now there's tons of money coming into it because Lyft, Uber, and DoorDash don't want to see their business model evaporate.
And quick question. Isn't Uber, don't they claim to be a zero profit company?
I don't fucking know. They, we see proponents. They claim they claim to be a good company, and they're nothing. They're filled with nothing but sexual harassment lawsuits.
My question was going to be though, how, like, if you're making zero profit, which is what they do, they're trying to say that they write everything off,
uh-huh,
and they make no money, so that's how they get out of paying taxes. How did they drop millions of dollars into this campaign if you make no profit? That was my question.
They borrowed money from Trump's Chinese bank account, but I digress. I'm voting yes, and you're voting yes as well.
Wait. Then hold on. There's a miscommunication here.
Voting yes would allow the independent contractor status to return.
To return. Okay, cool. So yeah. Okay. I thought that you would have wanted them to be employees.
No. I think this is where a lot of people would be surprised. Where I think Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, whatever the fuck, these fuckers, they came up with a clever business model. The fact of the matter is they were able to reach multiple people under their terms, and they had their contractors accept the terms. It's a gig economy. It's a clever business model. They shouldn't be punished for it. If you don't like it, work for a fucking taxi company. You don't have to make a living off fucking Uber.
Yeah.
That's your decision. So
this is really the root of the conversation that I had, I think, a week or two ago about a good idea. I'm a fan of a good idea. If it generates income, you're not hurting nobody, and you're basically following the law. You know what's fucked is they came up with this idea, and then the laws came out to compete it, to drop it, to fight it.
Right.
And that's not right. You know, like, it was law-abiding. It was a great fucking idea. They provide an incredible service. And not to mention, like, there's a lot of fucking cash tips that go on that I think really trying to enforce this as an employee would just become a huge bureaucracy, and we'll end up spending money trying to chase people down who got tipped $8 for dropping off a T-bone steak to someone hungry. You know what I mean?
You're not wrong.
Thanks, bro.
I think, you know, if you read the voter guide as well, there's some other benefits that are going to be allotted within Prop 22. There's going to be a health insurance stipend. There's an earnings minimum, pay for costs when a driver gets hurt on the job. There's stuff in there that, you know, they're going to get an increase in benefits.
Have you heard recent ads for Postmates?
No.
Postmates has created this huge campaign where if you do so many deliveries, they'll give college credit, not college credit, but pay into your tuition. Like, they basically have done this. They're creating insurance now. It's kind of, if this prop was a buck to make them act right, Postmates bit. But they are creating this whole program to make legitimate employment benefits out of gig workers. And that's great, dude. But this is one of those other things that I feel like the market will correct itself. If it's a shitty gig and it's no good, people won't do it.
Yeah. And I think at that point, you know, they'll have to reevaluate their business model and make it more attractive. I totally agree.
But overall, it was a good idea, and it didn't break any rules.
Yeah. They shouldn't be punished for it. I agree. Prop 23, we are both voting yes. Prop 23 establishes state requirements for kidney dialysis clinics. So you'll see a lot of ads for this one as well. A lot of no on Prop 23 ads. But all those ads are funded by the dialysis clinics, which, of course, don't want further regulation. But from what I understand, historically, they don't have the best reputation for being very clean or forthright with issues that arise at their clinics. And the prop would require a doctor or physician's assistant or someone to that stature always on site. They would have to accept people regardless of their insurance. And there would be, if I'm not mistaken, an organization set up to oversee the issues that historically are at dialysis clinics.
Hey, dialysis is no fucking joke. That is a legitimate medical service, I don't know, procedure?
Yep.
Have a doctor there.
Yep.
You know what it is? What it does, not only is it going to clean up any loose edges or cut corners, but now there's someone legitimately accountable for what takes place there.
Yeah, this here it is. Requires clinics to report dialysis-related infection data to state and federal governments. Prohibits clinics from closing or reducing services without state approval. And prohibits clinics from refusing to treat patients based on the source of payment of care. So all these ads are like, oh, well, if this thing passes, they're going to close clinics and I'm going to die. No, if this thing passes, it prohibited from closing. It just said it right there.
That's the same shit truckers said when they had to do the idle certificate, when they had to go through the new cleaning, like, of diesel engines.
Yeah.
We had to get rid of all those old rigs. They're like, nah, we're not going to ship through California. We got Long Beach Harbor, bro. You're just going to get better engines.
Yeah.
That's all that happened. No joke, quick dialysis center story. I was putting signs up at a dialysis center, like, you know, dialysis parking only. And they kept calling me out to fix them because people were backing into the posts. And, you know, they let people leave and drive home from getting dialysis. Wow. And I didn't know what dialysis was. And I was kind of like the sixth time in a summer out there fixing signs. And someone was coming out and getting in their Cadillac, like an older person. And I go, hey, like, what happens in there? And they go, oh, well, you know, they filter, you know, they take care of, they're pretty much my kidneys. I go, oh, that sounds pretty serious. It's a pretty serious medical procedure, you know? Yeah. And the old lady's like, yeah, absolutely. Like, great. And I'm like, all right, have a good day. She got in the driver's seat and drove off. I'm like, this is why your guys' fucking signs break every week. You're letting people drive from being fucking filtered. Like,
yeah.
There's no way you're like completely coherent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Increased accountability. Yeah. Increased accountability will definitely help out with that. So I'm voting yes, and you're voting yes as well. So that's good news.
Yes.
Number 24, amends consumer privacy laws. So this one was a little confusing, but ultimately I think I'm in favor of it. Permits consumers to prevent businesses from sharing personal information, correct inaccurate personal information, and limit businesses' use of sensitive personal information. In this day and age, especially with like Facebook and their recent headlines, your information, your data is the money. That's the currency.
Right.
Information is currency, and these tech companies are making a killing off you without your consent. So I think this amendment to consumer privacy laws will be a positive thing.
Yes. I'm all for making people earn it. Earn it.
Yeah. If you want to know about me, Facebook, give me a call. Don't just creep on my Facebook profile like creepy people.
Yeah.
That was said so importantly. That was not out of the official ballot voter.
Right, he said, you fucking litter box buster ass motherfuckers.
Yeah. And finally, we have anything to add, Prop 24?
No, I just, yeah. Like, it's so weird that there has to be a prop to strengthen privacy laws. There should be props to weaken privacy laws for us to vote on. Yeah. Why the fuck do we got to increase our privacy? No, bitch. You should have made it a prop to do the shit you did. Don't put this on us.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
25.
Prop 25. Last one. Proposition 25 is a referendum on law that replaces money bail with system based on public safety and flight risk. So there was a yes vote. A yes vote approves and a no vote rejects a 2018 law that I guess was put on hold for whatever reason being enacted, that replaced the money bail system for obtaining release from jail before trial with a system based on a determination of public safety and flight risk.
An algorithm.
It limits detention of a person in jail before trial for most misdemeanors. So I'm voting yes.
I was super sketched on this.
Okay.
Because, all right, I don't trust them, okay? I love the idea of money not getting you out of whatever the fuck you did or might have done or may have been accused of.
Sure.
Okay, I love that idea. I don't know why some of these fucking, you know, maybe not Spectre, but, you know, these, like, millionaires can murder someone and then be out while they're on trial. That's fucking crazy to me.
Right.
But here's the other thing. Like, I've been inside. I've never, ever done bail. Because one, unless there's any pending cases, I pretty much have gotten caught doing whatever the fuck I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I've never faced a real sentence. Like, you know, I was going to a month here, a couple months there, I never was going to do real time. So I didn't see the point in posting bail because you get credit for that time.
Right.
So you might as well just be in there through the system. I don't know how I feel about someone I don't know really having that kind of power and authority, and especially it being some fucking formula that someone who's never been through the system is creating. You know, I always get so weirded out when these politicians talk about our prison systems and everything. And it's just like you've never been through the system. You can't possibly know how to edit it best. And I think that's part of what's wrong with our prison system in this country is I get that you can't hire a prisoner to design the system, but right. You literally have never been through it. You don't know how the cogs turn. And you're sitting here trying to put this fucking delicate piece of engineering together. Think of it like a watch. You know how all the little cogs and right. everything turns together? But you've never been through half of that system. So I don't know who's going to create this system. I don't know how the system is going to work. I don't know how it's going to decide. I get its flight risk and seriousness of the crime. Yeah, I feel like I'll get released automatically all the time because I've never committed a serious crime. And I always go to court.
Getting into the weeds of what you're talking about with the algorithm, if you read the official voter guide, it says assessment staff will collect certain information to help determine the risk. So we don't know what that assessment staff is or looks like, or it could be an algorithm, it could be people, it could be an organization, could be a number of things. But I would encourage you to read the official voter guide on Prop 25 because it gives you the information, the ins and outs of how high risk, low risk, certain things would count, not count right out the gate. There's no algorithm needed. I'm not going to get into the weeds of that, but it's in the official voter guide. And after reading that, I decided to vote yes.
Okay. And that would be one that I would have to pull the trigger on inside and kind of figure out because that's one that truly affects me, being mm-hmm. somebody who cycles through the system, you know?
Yeah. So you told me to keep score. So Prop 17... Okay. Which was the felon vote. I voted right. yes. I don't know.
Okay.
18, I voted yes. You voted no for the vote by 18 in general election.
All right.
Vote number 21, which was the local rent control. I voted yes. You said no. And then 25, I said yes, which is the end of money bail. And you are right. not sure yet.
This is purely for fun.
Gotcha.
Obviously, this isn't real. Okay, but I'll trade you one.
Oh man, you're gonna trade me? Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'll go one of your votes if you go one of my votes. Which one you want to trade?
Oh, that's a great one.
I'm gonna ask you to go with me on 17. And what are you gonna wager for that one?
I will vote yes on 17.
If you
vote on rent control,
I'm down.
Oh man, did we just strike a deal?
Dude, we just did it. Oh man, I feel so empowered right now, dude.
Democracy at work.
Hell yeah, dude.
We're trading votes like snack packs at lunch.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You got the Dunkaroos and I got the Gushers.
I want to hear how many people are laughing right now because that's such a relatable analogy.
Dunkaroos. I always wanted to die. Like, I always kept an extra pack of Dunkaroos, right? But if I felt like I was ever going to die, I was going to swallow the pack unopened just down my gullet so that when I die and they x-ray, they try to figure out what's going on, they go, this motherfucker had an unopened pack of Dunkaroos in his stomach. Like, what the fuck? And then they have to really figure out what's going on in my life.
They'll require that. Absolutely.
Right? How rad is that?
So we're just under 10 minutes or so, 10 minutes or so before our ending of the episode. So I wanted to talk a little bit more because you mentioned the politicization of the vote.
Uh-huh.
You kind of mentioned that how mail-in voting is kind of become politicized. And yeah, it's not just so much the mail-in voting, but it's crazy how voting in general becomes politicized.
Expand. Yeah, the vote is the vote, right? Like, we should do that. Or, you know, voting shouldn't pull you one way left or right. Like, the way somehow being pro or anti-mask has. Yeah. Like, that shouldn't pull you left or right. I don't know how that happened, but I'm sure it was pretty simple. I just wasn't paying attention. Anyways, whenever there's something that is so fucking totally torn upon, that is so, like, rapturous in our environment, like mail-in voting has become, I know that something's not right. When it's so heavily Democrats that say mail-in voting should be fine, and then Republicans are like, no, you have to go and vote. You have to show ID, you got to be there and vote. I know that they're both benefiting from, by a demonstrative way, by their stance.
Right.
And that makes me trust no one.
Well, to kind of simplify, like you said, it's a really simple answer. When people turn out to vote, Democrats win.
No, when people go vote, Republicans win?
No, when people turn out to win, when there's an increase in voting, the Democrats win.
Oh, okay.
That's just historically how it's always been. Even with the 2016 election, you saw the popular vote go to Hillary. When people turn out, the Democrats win. So in that theory and logic, we want to see more voting, expanding of voting, mail-in voting, so Democrats win. Of course, the opposite side of that coin, the Republicans or the conservatives want to hinder that expansion because it affects their ability to win.
If you're so sure that you win with voter turnout, like, isn't it kind of shady of you to make turnout such a vague thing? Like, you don't even got to turn out anymore. Just do it from home or do, like, because I think this is the fear. Young people vote for old people.
Mm-hmm.
I think people get their grandma's ballots and take care of, you know what I mean? I don't think it's like a turnout thing. Because if you win in masses, just make the masses go do the thing.
You're right. You're right. And I think, however, there's a limitation to that where if people are going to turn out to vote and if you provide the ability to make voting as easy as it is to order a fucking pizza on DoorDash, we should be doing that. It's our fundamental aspect of who we are as Americans is to vote, what it should be anyways, even though almost half the country doesn't. We should make it easier for people to vote, whether it be a phone app, whether it be a mail-in ballot, whether it be expanding voting rights and making it a national holiday. You know,
I've been adamant in my belief that if I can bank from my phone, I can vote from my phone.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like if I can put all of my life savings, both dollars, accessible through my home screen, then I should be able to vote. You know, I get that. I don't know. It's the thing, the fact that one is obvious. Like, I understand both sides. I get it. It should be easier to vote, but also who's confirming who's voting? You know what I mean?
And I think that's where you have all these, you know, election hurdles, I guess you could say, that are in place to ensure that pure votes are coming through and not fraudulent votes. And as it's been said in history, as it's always brought up for mail-in voting, there has been a ridiculously low number of fraudulent instances of mail-in voting. And I think we would see that with any other type of voting. Yes, there's going to be some issues that arise, but is it a significant percentage that warrants concern? I don't think so. And I think with this particular cycle, you're seeing a fluff of that concern because they're going to lose.
Is there anything to say about tradition? I asked that question like gently. I don't believe so, but I wonder, is there any value to the tradition of going to vote? Or is that tradition just curdled with what do they call it? Like vote blocking when people don't allow people to vote or, you know, all those obstacles. Dude, I lived in the South when Obama ran, and I knew plenty of people who voted multiple times for Obama. And I thought it was, I was all for it. But I can see that even that system, you know, is obviously there's huge fallacies.
Well, I will say that there is not enough focus on the significance of the vote and not enough focus and investment in the ability for America to vote. And I think because there is not that level of investment, both emotionally and financially, we're seeing the ability to fuck with it. But if we get everyone on board and respect it and honor it in the way that it should be, I think we'll see real, true elections carried out.
And you know what made me more nervous about this exact conversation that we're having or this you know, problem here is I saw an ad for like vote by mail,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't COVID at all. There was like people out riding bikes, hanging out, high-fiving at the park. Like, oh, vote by mail. Oh, look, there's a mailbox. Let's drop off our ballots. All walking down the street outside the strip mall. And it's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought we were vote by mail because of COVID.
Yeah, I think that just that's alluded to just tone deaf PR people. What looks good on a mailer? What looks good on TV? What makes people feel all warm and cozy inside to go vote?
Plot twist. Follow me, brother. Check that. Check this out. This is the ultimate response to my own argument. They go, "Hey, we had to use stock footage because of COVID. We couldn't record a new commercial." I go, "Oh, my bad."
That's not true. I see new Morongo commercials showing people in face masks.
Oh, they don't give a fuck. Apparently, Native Americans are not dying of COVID because they don't give a fuck, dude.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So, I mean, that's a good point and a good thing to keep in mind. The politicization.
Yeah, dude.
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Of voting. But here's the main event, and we're going to go over time, but we don't give a fuck because this is that much of important of an episode. That's not even a real sentence.
Prop 26, extend the length of social nuisance episodes to an hour and a half.
Vote yes. The presidential election is what's taking center stage, as understandably, but I think as with all things 2020, this feels different. So it comes down to it. You have Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and you have Mike Pence and that fucking guy. Donald Trump. So Donald J. Trump, Mike Pence, Republicans, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. Clearly, if you know me, there's no mistake. I'm voting Joe Biden to get Trump the fuck out of there. And then promptly thereafter, on January 22nd, we get right back to work and hold Joe Biden accountable and make sure that the next election cycle is where we want it to be. It's no longer time to choose between which poison, but it's time to choose the greater good. And that will be reflected in the work that awaits us January 22nd, once Joe Biden's the next president. Where are you at?
I found out that it's, I can tell which party line you're on by the way you say Kamala or Kamala.
I don't know her name.
Actually, you said it the Republican way, because Republicans go Kamala,
and then Kamala. Democrats
go Kamala.
I don't know.
And I could tell by the emphasis how you feel about abortion,
you know. As someone who's had their last name chopped up numerous times, I'm sure she can relate, and she doesn't give a fuck. Just call me whatever. Just call me Mama Bear, right?
Her last name is basic as fuck. Her parents were like, "Dude, they're gonna nail your last name. We gotta fuck up your first name."
Is that a real last name, or is that? I mean, sorry,
last name,
maiden name, or is that her married name?
I don't know, dude.
I don't know either.
I don't know what people are doing anymore with names, dude.
I'm voting Joe.
I think the DNC is a mafia, dude, like high level, and the shit that they've pulled to Bernie the past couple times, mm-hmm. and other people. Like, I thought him picking Kamala or Kamala, Kay Harris, get it, girl. yes. No, I think him picking her was such a fucking like pandering move to begin with. She had zero delegates, no endorsements. Mm-hmm. It was like, literally, we should get the most minority we could get. You know, when there was people like Tulsi Gabbard that actually had endorsements, I don't know. I just feel like there are so many more options. You pick someone that no one is now going to vote for you because of Kamala.
Don't you think the VP pick is always pandering, though? I mean, that's what John McCain did with Sarah Palin.
Yeah, that was bad. And he paid the price.
That's true.
You know what I mean? He paid the price. Yeah. And they fucking hit each other forever after that. Remember that?
How do you feel about Mike Pence being picked as the VP? Do you think that was pandering? Okay,
look, dude, this is what I think he did. I think he supplemented Donald Trump in such a way because no one knew who the fuck he was. That's now, true. I will say, during that vice presidential election, he did surprise me. Like, they actually both surprised me, but I didn't get anything from Kamala that I didn't think I wouldn't get, except for her saying she would decriminalize weed.
Right.
That surprised me. But Mike Pence actually carried himself in a way. I guess that maybe he always does. I don't know. The last memory I have of him was him leaving the football game early because they took the knee.
Oh, right.
You know, and it's like, your dumb fucking stunt cost us $1 billion because you took a private jet. And then you're like, "Oh, they took a knee. I'm taking private." And like, everyone, you knew they were taking a knee. Like, shut up, you idiot. Like,
yeah.
You know, so before hearing him talk that day, I hadn't really had any good reference of him. I will say that I was disappointed in the sense that their debate was presidential. They attacked each other with class. They called each other out with class. They argued, you know, appropriately. And it was sad to see that compared to what the fucking presidents, you know, the guys running for president did.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how the next debate is going to go.
We're already, half the country's already voted.
Yeah, but I think there are some people who are still undecided, and if anything, they're just holding out hope. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if at this point you're still undecided, I mean, come on. I know a very dear, close friend of mine is a Trump supporter. And she said that she's going to vote Trump, has a yard sign, has the whole nine voting for Trump. And I respect this person so much. Great deal of respect and friendship for this person. And they're voting for Trump. Now, first and foremost, I'm glad that they're going to vote. I'm glad that they have a position. I'm glad they're involved in the civic process. Super disappointed with who they're supporting. Haven't engaged them as to why. But, you know, I can understand if you have a position. At least you know your position. If you don't have a position by now, dude, you just...
You ain't black! No,
I'm kidding. I just don't understand it. But again, as I said earlier in the episode, if the Democrats turn out, if people that hate Trump turn out, he's going to go.
And again, I stand by my... This is what I hate. That your friend might only relate to one or two Trump things.
I think that's what it is.
Because of the fucking options, you know, it's like we're forced into these pigeonholes, dude. Like, God damn it, there's got to be someone that reflects us better. I had another thought. Remember that I've said, you know, time and time again, that we have Donald Trump as president because Obama talked shit to him at the White House press conference?
Oh, yeah.
Or a press dinner?
Yeah.
Imagine we get Kanye next, and it's two, because Obama talks shit about the two times Obama like seeped to their level, they become fucking presidents. That dude was high class for 7.5 years. Two times he fucked up and talked shit about someone, and now we got fucking Donald Trump and Kanye West.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not okay with that.
There were some good zingers though.
Well, apparently not.
Not when they backfire. Yeah.
No, but what was the Kanye one? You just called him an asshole or something?
I don't know.
Remember that one?
Deserved it, probably. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Kanye deserves. Well, I don't even want to say that because he has so much good stuff.
I did want to not really address, but I want to reaffirm that I'm on the same page as you, that I hate the fact that we're continuously in this position of picking the lesser of two evils.
Yes, sir.
I think it's time to hold the country to account in the fact that we can be better, we can do better. And as I was thinking earlier, we shouldn't be voting the lesser of two evils. We should be voting the greater of two goods.
Yeah.
And I want to see people step up to the plate and let's ruffle some feathers. Let's get our asses to Congress and let's piss some people off. And I think that's what I'm envisioning for whatever political future potentially awaits me. Here's the one thing that I attribute success to with Donald Trump, and people will never believe it, but I attribute success in the fact that he illustrated that people are tired of same old politics in America. He came in like a whirlwind and did whatever the fuck he wanted. And there were people that related to it because they have fucked up shared points of views. And there's people that related to it because it was a breath of fresh air of like, yeah, fuck everybody. Fuck everybody. Burn the whole place down. I don't give a fuck if Donald Trump's president. Everyone who does care is going to be pissed off. And you're right. We were. But now we're all suffering because of it.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of soldiers that aren't suffering right now, dude. There's a lot of foreign policy that has came home. And
agreed. So he isn't your conventional president. There have been things that you haven't seen conventionally.
Yeah.
What gives me hope with the election of Donald Trump is that on the flip side of the coin, for someone who I deem to be an absolutely disgrace of a human being, if they can be elected president based upon who they are,
I see where you're going.
Then we can elect a president who is good in nature, who is human in their faults and mistakes, but is, call it like I see it, American. For someone who is the evil of evil, the good of goods.
Is this you for 2024? Is this your bid? Is this your announcement?
I can't tell you how many times I fantasize of running for office just so I can have, you know, a soapbox and just talk my shit. And it's not so much, you know, the fame fortune that lies awaiting myself as well as the magic bullet that JFK got, but it's more that we can do better, we can be better. And it just requires someone just to step up and just fucking call it like they see it, even if it means pissing people off. But you know what? It's time to stop being fucking litter boxes about it.
And let's
have some fucking conversations, some difficult conversations, but conversations no less.
You know, like if we think back, we were inspired to start this, and the title of which, through that first election, Donald Trump election, not the first election, obviously, we're not that old, wise as we may be, but it is like, I'm glad to be back here again with you.
Likewise, especially for, I think, a situation or an environment that requires such an honest dialogue.
You know, and I thought that first election, I felt in my heart that Donald Trump was going to win. I wanted no involvement with the election. And I thought it was even more comical with Hillary Clinton and the way they did Bernie back then.
Oh, yeah.
And then to cycle back around again. And to me, I look at Joe Biden as male Hillary Clinton. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Who ran with Hillary? Who was her vice?
Oh, Keene from Virginia. Tim Keene?
He was Mike Pence Democrat then, huh? Right?
Yeah, he was very forgettable.
But what I am stoked about is what the Democrats brought to offer before settling on Biden. Mayor Pete.
Yeah, right? I'm also excited because you have the underpinnings. There's a boil. Yeah, there's something happening.
We're about to brush off the foam. Like,
yeah.
It's time to get these old motherfuckers out. You know, universally across the country, like, the problems that we're facing this go around are too old to be returning. You see what I'm saying?
Like, that's a great explanation.
And it's almost silly that they're there at all. So regardless as to how this turns out, I'm really, really stoked about what we'll be seeing 4 years from now, unless it's apocalypse.
Very well could be. Coronavirus 2. exactly. Well said. The underpinnings of what could be is beginning to be.
I see a tea party of the DNC, like, brewing. Oh, what was it called? We looked into it. The People's Party.
Yeah, the People's Party. They still have no real. I don't say status, but, you know, they haven't.
Momentum.
Solidified. That is where they haven't solidified it as to who they are, what they're for. But like I said, I've announced that once I get my roots into whatever community that, you know, my family ends up with a home ownership, that community will become my new home, and I'm going to be running for school board.
Oh, I'll text you it, but I'm going to ruin someone's career in a school board in a community somewhere nearby.
There'll be an opening soon.
Yeah.
that's pretty much it. I mean, we have a few more minutes. We want to keep going. I think you wanted to talk about Biden's avoidance of answering the question of packing the court.
Oh, no, not just the avoidance of packing the court, but the I wanted to pick your brain because I know, you know, the checks and balances so much better than I. The strategy of packing the court. They obviously want to pack the court. If he wins the election, that's him not answering that question. Kamala not answering it is an answer.
Yeah. They're leaving the door open. I don't think they're going to do it, but I think they're leaving the door open if they need to.
And that's only if this girl gets passed, because she's not passed yet. Is that correct?
She's not passed yet, but I don't think if she gets passed that they're going to do it. I think if she gets passed, they're going to see, assuming Biden wins, they're going to see how it plays out and what moves are occurring. Because maybe they lose the Senate and they can't repeal.
The last dude, that's actually turned out pretty well, right? The, you know, believer guy.
Oh, Kavanaugh.
He actually has been pretty fair. He's actually shot down a couple conservative ideas.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So one, I'm not so quick to disqualify a selection just because it's his selection.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Because his selection has been pretty fucking fair in previous experience. But I feel like, all right, cool. Even with like the popular vote and changing the vote and the vote by mail, I feel like the field goal post is moving by whether or not Democrats are winning or losing. And the rules are changing by whether or not, you know, Democrats are, it's in their favor or not in their favor.
I think the goalposts are moving when a political party doesn't get their way. Not necessarily Democrats, but either party is guilty of this. Both parties are guilty.
Okay, so in these past couple of years, I don't see Republicans making those changes. Definitely not as feverishly as Democrats are.
Trying to make changes to the court?
Not just to the court, just to the rules. The rules in general.
Okay.
That's just how I feel. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I just feel like I'm hearing a lot of like initiatives to change established ways, and they're probably bad, old, racist, established ways. I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying I feel like they're coming from the left and not the right this time. Now, when you're going up for a presidential election, and look, dude, I know zero about how long there's been. It's 9 Supreme Court judges, right?
Correct.
Have they been there 100 years, or was it 5 40 years ago? And then the Republicans did this and made it 9. I don't know.
Right. They moved it around. I forget who moved it around. You're right. But it has moved around. Yes.
Okay. So to be like, dude, there needs to be, Americans got to have some sort of confidence in that shit's not going to get royally fucked up. And I'm not saying you're going to get that for voting for Donald Trump. But if you're a presidential nominee and you won't answer whether or not you're going to fuck with the checks and balances, like, that's unnerving. You know what I mean?
Yes, but I understand why.
Okay.
The understanding why is because the way that the Senate, especially Mitch McConnell, to be specifically, has overtaken and has total disregard for the rules and regulation put into place for the system of checks and balances.
Of the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court, court appointments, passing of laws. It's ridiculous that the Senate has any say in whether or not a law will be passed before it's even written. That is the House's job. So right now, even with the House and the White House having negotiations for the coronavirus bill, they didn't have it's between the Senate and the House, because it has to pass Congress for the president to simply sign. It's just the amount of obstruction coming from the Senate, specifically, again, Mitch McConnell, especially during the Obama era. You've seen the most clear example was Merrick Garland, who was nominated for the Supreme Court in 2016, I think it was February, and was refused Senate hearings because it was too close enough of an election. And RBG dies within a month or two of the election, and
what?
The Senate railroads the appointment of Amy Comey Barrett, whatever the fuck her name is.
Wait, RBG's dead?
Oh, come on, bro.
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Bad joke. Too soon. No. Okay. So that was within the same time I was going to hire RBG to be my divorce attorney.
No. She would have not voted for you. That's for sure.
I only said that because I screamed, I woke up Natalie and she looked at me.
Yeah, I think that's where it comes from. You don't see so much that the Democrats are trying to fix.
What does that have to do with changing the amount of justices our Supreme Court?
What does it take?
No, what does that have to do with changing the amount of Supreme Court justices? Like, how does everything you said about the House and
No, they're both wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the Democrats should appoint more judges. I understand why they're holding it in their back pocket, but I disagree.
Is that easy to do, or is that like a Donald Trump thing? Like, I'm gonna build a wall. Like, I'm gonna put more judges. Is it like, can you do that?
Yeah, the president can appoint more judges.
They could just have the Supreme Court now is 20 judges.
The president holds the checks and balances aspect to the Supreme Court. And not only do they nominate appointees, they can revise the amount of justices on the court.
That's fucking crazy.
But you have to imagine that, you know, we haven't had this threat of decorum in what appointments. Threat?
Hmm? What threat? That a president picked two?
No, that the Senate did not play by their own precedent. Here's the thing. The Senate was wrong for not allowing Merrick Garland to go through the appointment trials.
Okay, that's from last time. Please understand, I'm not being a contrarian. I'm actually trying to learn.
So I believe it was, in 2016, February 2016.
Right before Obama was out, they held off a hearing to appoint a judge that he selected.
In February.
Because it was too close to
the election.
In February, and the election's in November.
Correct.
Okay, so they were like 10 months away, 8 months away.
9 months away, and the Senate said, we're not going to hold hearings because it's
numbers, too close. And it was the one in the middle. I'm an idiot, sorry.
It's all good.
Okay, so they did not go through with this hearing because they said there's an election coming up, the new president should get to pick.
Correct.
Okay, so then Donald Trump gets elected. Who did he pick, or he picked someone that first month to replace her?
Correct. He picked Neil Gorsuch to replace Antonin Scalia. Okay.
So that was pick.
That was Obama's pick that they stole and Trump appointed.
Oh, so he picked the person that Obama did anyway. So there's no controversy.
No, he picked Neil Gorsuch. Obama nominated Merrick Garland.
Oh, okay. Okay. Donald Trump did pick someone.
That was not the original pick. They didn't play by the rules. They fucked up. The second pick was Justice Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
So that one was fair and square.
Okay, so this is what makes me nervous. Fuck length of time. If there's 9 judges, I don't think one president should get to pick 3 of them, even if he's elected 2 terms.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Now I think that's heavy. Now I can see where you're loading it.
So, again, they didn't play by the rules the first time. I disagree with that. The president being able to load justices, I don't know enough to speak on it, but I know it's there. I understand why they keep it in their back pocket. What all I'm asking in this particular instance is that if the Republican Senate was going to set precedent by saying there's too close to an election, okay, number one, make it a law so it's all future precedent that we're all on the same page. And B, because you didn't do that, have some honor to abide by the precedent that you, the singular same person, said you were abiding by, instead of completely being hypocritical.
I get that. I think that's fair. Now,
that's all I ask. But as far as like loading the court, if you're the president, you should have an opinion. You could say, yes, I'm considering loading the court. I don't like that I have to consider it, but due to all this fuckery, I'm going to keep it in my back pocket. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying I know it's there.
Not that you would agree with this choice, but you would settle with its fairness, that if it gets held off, his choice, or even the opportunity to nominate his choice, for them to even, for Senate hearings at all for this judge.
Right.
If he wins the election and then they do it next year, you would kind of go back and be like, okay, well, I don't know if I like, do or don't like your judge. I haven't picked that yet, but now it's fair. You
win the election. Okay. Oh, yeah. Without hesitation. Because that's abiding by previous precedent.
I feel real weird about one person making 30% of lifelong appointments in, you know, what might be the last holy institution in this country, dude. Obviously, the White House is a fuck show. Obviously, fucking House, you know, Congress and the Senate are shit shows. The last actual institution of people who abide by our Constitution and like respect it. I don't know if I want one person, especially a reality TV show host, picking 30% of that.
I mean, you're not wrong in that perspective.
You know what I mean? Like, me gets kind of heavy.
Lifetime appointments, they make me feel uncomfortable, period. I mean, with Congress and their lifetime appointments, if you can be elected over and over and over and over, you can keep running and winning over and over and over. Like Biden, Bernie,
McConnell. You have a campaign. You still got to show up.
But still, I dislike it because it discourages others to get involved. I think there are numerous other Americans who can also step up to the plate, who have fresh ideas, fresh perspectives. And I would love to see term limits on Congress as well as the justices, just like the president.
You know, and we need to teach voters to be curious of incumbents. Why does it have that on the, like, why should I know who's being reelected on my voting little book?
Because that was their previous job. It's like, yeah, it's like looking at your resume.
Yeah, but okay, but that it's only your job if you're at high level politics, like school board.
Oh yeah,
I don't even know if you were on the school board last year.
That makes sense.
You should have to re-educate me, because guess what? Your school board really affects. Let's pretend high school education.
Sure.
My kid's a freshman. I didn't know you last time, so why does it say right there that you're reelectable?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think we need to. And then the fact that they could take ads out on that, come on. They're not ads, but they're bios. Come on. Fuck out of here, dude. How the fuck is a parent who really cares about their kid's education supposed to compete with some fucking asshole middle school teacher that's been running for this shit for 30 fucking years?
We'll find out when I run.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to need a lot of funding.
Dude, if you're a voter and your school board is on your ballot, vote parent. That's all I'm saying.
You're probably not wrong. I mean, I think
no one cares more about your kid's education than your parent. Because guess what? Guess who's fucking like washing the education? Guess who wants it to be easier? Is the teacher that's running. The teacher that's running does not care more about your student than you do.
I think you're on the right track, but I think I would need to learn about them individually more. Is this a teacher who really loves teaching?
They should have a podcast.
Or is it a parent that, you know, has an agenda?
Loves teaching. Shut up, dude. Have you ever met a teacher that loves teaching past 1 year experience?
That's funny. Well, that's pretty much it. So you have anything else you want to add for the election 2020?
Then do what the fuck we said. Meet us halfway on the one we met halfway, and the world will be better.
You're probably not right. You're not wrong. As always, we want to thank you for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us that 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, more importantly now than ever, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity.
Say it again for the people in the back. Imagine
55.7% of Americans who were able to vote in 2016 did. Out of 250 million American voters, 112 million people did not vote. Tell me again that your vote does not matter. My name is Imagine. That's the Main Man Motion. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Love y'all either way.